Coming today on Breaking Free, a modern divorce podcast.
Covert warning signs and then the overt warning signs. I know one thing that happened to me one time at a cocktail party. I had this doctor who came up to me and he says, by the way, if anybody ever asked, this was our initial consultation, so you're conflicted off. And
well, that's pretty overt. Yeah.
I was like, okay, trouble in paradise over there.
Welcome to Breaking Free, a modern divorce podcast with Rebecca Zung and Susan Guthrie.
This is the place to hear other people's stories, to learn from the top experts in every related field, to also have some fun, laugh, and hang with two divorce attorney girlfriends who are also top family law litigators.
Breaking Free Mediation is proud to be the very first family law mediation centers in the country to offer a mindfulness track. Breaking Free Mediation, helping you resolve family law matters peacefully. Learn more at www.breakingfreemediation.com.
Also, make sure to download your free calming meditation from renowned meditation and energy expert Scott Picard at www.breakingfreefromdivorce.com/free meditation.
And now we invite you to listen to today's show.
It's going to inspire you to transform and break free. Welcome to today's podcast. Our topic today is warning. You better fix these things in your marriage or say goodbye. I'm Rebecca Zung.
And I'm Susan Guthrie. So, you know, there are all kinds of warning signs that we see as divorce attorneys of marriages that are in trouble. You know, I can't tell you how many times, and you've probably experienced this too, Rebecca, that you're at a, you know, a cocktail party or you're out with friends and someone starts to tell you a story. And all of a sudden in my head, I'm thinking, uh-oh, you know, these are the danger signs. These are the warning signs, right?
Oh, yeah. It happens all the time. And, you know, they're like the covert warning signs and then the overt warning signs. I know one thing that happened to me one time at a cocktail party. I had this doctor who came up to me and he says, by the way, if anybody ever asked, this was our initial consultation, so you're conflicted off. And
well, that's pretty overt. Yeah.
I was like, okay, trouble in paradise over there. But it's not normally that overt, right? I mean, you know, normally it's just like these little signs where people start to think, well, maybe, you know. So we thought we'd do a show today on things that you better be looking for or get fixed if you can. And that's what we'll be focusing on today.
Right. So, you know, there's all kinds of things that we've heard people maybe in retrospect say, oh, that was a sign that I should have paid attention to, or that was something. You know, one of the things that, especially as, you know, cell phones took over our lives in the past decade or so, that I think is a sure sign that perhaps something is amiss is when your spouse starts either hiding their cell phone or they change their password so that you can't access their phone anymore. Or I had one client who found the second phone. And it was the second, they had actually gone out and gotten an entirely different phone and different account that the bill went to their office that they were using to communicate with the new significant other.
Yeah, yeah. And I've heard of like what they call the burner phones or whatever, like the ones they can just pick up at Walmart or whatever that don't have, you know, they're not part of a plan.
Those prepaid, yeah. You know, cell phones. But, you know, when I think it's, you know, more than just the cell phone, it's the if your spouse feels they are need to hide something from you, then that's surely a sign that there's something to hide.
Yeah, like all of a sudden you're not allowed to look at their phone for anything. And, you know, or maybe they're texting in the bathroom at the restaurant or something, you know, What's going on with that?
Well, because I think it's true that, you know, even again, after cell phones became ubiquitous in our lives, almost every case that I've been involved in the past 5 to 10 years, there's been some source of information in one of the party's cell phones that had an impact in the divorce, be it, you know, there were text messages that revealed something, or the text messages between the two parties were something that was introduced as evidence in the case. So cell phones themselves have become a huge factor. Well, and they're the window to social media as well, right? So social media is definitely something you need to be paying attention to, because I also can count the number of times, many, many times, where people have gone on Facebook or some other social, you know, media source and reconnected with an old flame.
Oh, yeah. That's a huge one. That's a huge one. That's a very good point. You know, and you know, sometimes it becomes more of what we now call an emotional affair, where there, you know, maybe there's no sexual actions going on, but there's, you know, where you're pouring your heart out to each other and you're sharing all kinds of intimate details and personal stuff that maybe should be shared with your spouse and not with someone else.
Well, that can even be more of a betrayal when someone, you know, when your spouse is sharing their feelings and their innermost thoughts with someone else and not with you, that's, you know, that's a sure sign that there's something in the intimacy of your relationship that has broken down.
Absolutely.
And because our phones are so available to us, all those other people out there in the world are available to us, or to your spouse as well.
Yeah. And if you're not paying attention to what's going on at home, you know, that the other person may go find it somewhere else, whatever it is that they're needing or lacking. Not necessarily that, you know, you can provide everything for one person, but, you know, one of the things that I always have said, and, you know, it has rung true for most people, and that is that if you have any one of the three A's going on, which is what I call abuse, addiction, and adultery, or the three deadly sins of marriage, that's probably a massive warning sign that there's going to be major problems.
Yeah. I mean, any of those things. And we've had, you know, we had the show with Todd Krieger, the sex therapist, on there. And adultery does not mean that your marriage is over necessarily. It surely is a sign that your marriage needs work or needs help, and that there are issues. But as we talked about in that issue, in that episode, there are ways to heal from that. But and there are ways to heal from addiction. But if those things, or I don't know, abuse might be a little bit more difficult to work through. We're both big believers, I know, Rebecca, in therapy. I don't know how else you could work through a abusive relationship without getting some serious therapeutic help.
Yeah, I think all three of them, you need some outside intervention for sure. But, you know, some of the things to look for if you suspect that there may be adultery, might be a big change in behavior. People start acting differently. Their appearance is different. You know, if you start to see lots of weight being lost, or new hair, new boobs, new teeth. Yeah.
I have had so many cases where someone has gone out and gotten cosmetic surgery, either a breast enhancement or new teeth or nose job or something, and it's really been right at the door of the divorce. And it's always a question during the divorce, you know, hey, I paid for those. Can I get that money back? Or, you know, those teeth that cost us $30,000. Those teeth are going with her. So, but that is, you know, it's not necessary. We all go through times where we want to pay attention or to our appearance and maybe lose weight or do that. But big changes in behavior at least are something to look at if your spouse is going in another direction.
Right. Or suddenly lots of travel away or time away from home. All of a sudden that your spouse is gone for long periods of time or working late or
Yeah, that's a pretty old school one right there. I'm working late, but you know, I've had people report that their spouse who always traveled at work for work, but suddenly when they were traveling, they weren't available. You know, they weren't answering their cell phone as easily, or they weren't FaceTiming with the kids. So that was the, it wasn't so much that they were traveling. It was that something changed about their travel. And it was because someone else was traveling with them on those trips. But, you know, so that goes to your big change in behavior. It, something was different.
Yeah, yeah. Or if I actually had a client who found a Victoria's Secret tag in her husband's car, and she knew she hadn't received anything from Victoria's Secret. Although, you know, nowadays it could mean something else as far as he's concerned. You know, maybe he's a cross-dresser or something, but...
You never know, but that's, I had, you know, I had that one case where the affair came to light when the wife got a thank you note from the sales lady at Neiman Marcus saying, we hope you're enjoying your new Chanel bag and your fur coat. And she had not received a Chanel bag and a fur coat, but her husband's girlfriend had. The sales lady sent the note to the wrong woman.
Oops.
Yeah, that's one of those overt signs that you were talking about, Rebecca.
Yeah. Oops.
Yeah.
So, and you know, another thing is, you know, how you're communicating with each other, you know, making sure that you're communicating effectively, you know, attacking each other, bringing up the past.
Yeah, when people start getting personal in their attacks as opposed, it's one thing to be even, you know, married people argue. We're both married and you know, certainly.
Oh, no, we've never argued ever.
That's, well, you two have that perfect
Just
marriage.
Just kidding.
Yeah. But there are different ways to
kidding?
Argue.
Are you kidding? We're both lawyers.
Exactly. It must be very interesting. It's so funny. I was having a discussion with someone the other day, and they were telling me they hadn't, it was one of the workers in my home, and they were telling me they had done something, and I started in asking him questions, and my husband's like, oh my God, you're cross-examining that guy. Stop going into lawyer mode. You know, sometimes we can't stop that thing.
Yeah. So that's what
the poor guy looked like. I had, you know, I had him in the witness stand with a harsh light on him.
Well, our arguments are like, oh no, you said this. No, I only said that after you said this. I said that in response to you.
Very factual.
Yes.
But when your spouse starts attacking you personally, as opposed to having an argument that's founded in something that is not a personal attack. When they start, you know, the thing that I've always heard from clients is their spouse starts telling them they're stupid or they're an idiot or, you know, really taking that attack to a different level. You can have an argument with your spouse, but I would never tell my husband he was an idiot or he was stupid. That's not part of that dynamic. But if it starts to become part of how your spouse is communicating with you, that is a sure sign that something is going on.
Yeah, well, I would never say that to my husband anyway, because it's definitely not true. But I mean, yeah.
There is that.
Yeah, but I mean, the point being, you know, learn ways to communicate effectively to each other so that, you know, you're not attacking the person, but you can also feel heard and feel like, you know, the other person is listening to what you're saying. And so you're saying it in a constructive way. You know, one of the things I tell people all the time is if you really want to be heard, say things in a way that, you know, people are going to want to listen. Because if you attack the person, they're not going to want to listen to you, whatever you have to say. They're just going to want to defend themselves.
Exactly. They're responding to your attack. But that's a very good point. You know, another one, and I see this, is who knows you better than your spouse, right? They know your good things, they know your bad things, and they know how to push your buttons. And so if your spouse starts doing things purposely that they know will annoy you. I have actually had cases where one of the parties did not want to be the one to file the papers. So they did things to annoy or upset or drive the other person, you know, to the point where they would be the one to leave the marriage or they would be the one to file papers. So it, you know, if your spouse starts going after what are your weak points or are your, you know, your buttons, definitely something to be aware of.
Yeah, for sure. And I would also say finances is a big deal. I mean, it's one of the biggest reasons why people get divorced. And so with having agreements around finances, having a budget, having agreements on, you know, like my husband and I have sort of this agreement, and we never actually spoke it, but, you know, we don't make big purchases without the approval of the other. I mean, you know, if I want to go to the store and get something small or whatever, he doesn't care, or vice versa. But if we're going to buy houses or cars or something like that, we talk to each other about it.
Well, that's it. My husband and I have the same, I don't know if it's a spoken agreement, but we have the same agreement because we consider ourselves a business partnership and a, you know, we are in this together and certainly would not go out and do anything extraordinary financially. And that's something that you do hear quite often in divorce court, is where you have one spouse who is a spender and one spouse who is a saver. And that is a very, very difficult, unless you sit down and come up with those agreements so that you do have a roadmap of how to exist. When one is just spending and one is a saver, that's a very difficult paradigm to overcome in a marriage.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Breaking Free Mediation is proud to be the very first family law mediation centers in the country to offer a mindfulness track. Breaking Free Mediation, helping you resolve your family law matter peacefully. Learn more at www.breakingfreemediation.com. Also, make sure to download your free meditation at www.breakingfreefromdivorce.com/free meditation. Coming up, more from Rebecca and Susan on Warning: Fix These Things in Your Marriage or Say Goodbye.
Yeah, if you find financial paperwork around the house that you don't know what that is a definite problem.
Yeah, like the big
keep
warning.
A copy of that paperwork, but that's a big, big problem.
You know that alarm on your phone that goes bong, bong, bong? That's what should happen when you find that.
Or that warning thing in the car when you don't put your seatbelt on and it gets louder and faster.
Yeah.
That's what you should hear in your head if you find a secret bank account.
Take a listen to our archive, where you can hear Rebecca and Susan discuss more topics on divorce in depth, including alimony, the real facts about the scariest word in divorce.
No one has ever come through the door with their checkbook out and their pen in hand saying to me, "Hey, Susan, when do I get to write that first alimony check?"
And now we return to today's show.
Another one that I've seen in cases that I've had is where in-laws are like enmeshed in the family too much or in the couple too much. Yes, clients who are listening, you know who you are.
Yes, my own clients are out there going, "I hope Susan's not going to tell my story now."
Yeah. So, you know, anybody who's not part of you guys should not be the priority.
No. And that happens, you know, not just with in-laws, but in this, you know, a common refrain that I've heard is once children came into the marriage, the relationship between the spouses stopped being a priority and everything was about the kids. And so that there wasn't, you know, things like that date night or that intimacy or that sharing of anything beyond being parents. And I know that's difficult. Children can be really time all consuming, right? They're emotionally and they're dependent. They're physically dependent upon you. But I have, beyond just the in-laws being looking over your shoulder, Another thing to be aware of would be, are you still having time for your relationship, even though you're parents? Or is there a priority, you know, kids can be a priority at some times, but are you at least setting aside some time for you to be not parents, but be, you know, be spouses, be people in a relationship together?
Yeah, well, I mean, having time for, you know, to be alone, and, you know, people talk about date nights, but, you know, it's a real thing. And working too much could also, you know, take away from the priority of the relationship.
Type A personality spouse, you never see them.
Yeah, well, and I mean, especially certain, you know, as you say, type A personalities, you know, some type A personalities only feel value through getting accolades at work, you know, and so they don't feel like spending time with their spouse is a priority, you know, like, well, I could end up losing this account or not doing as good of a job for this client, and it's really important to me to be good in my career. But it's just as important to be a good spouse.
It is. And you know, there's a difference between being supportive of your spouse's career, but also bringing to the fore when you need your spouse to be there for you as well. So, and I think people get lost in, it's hard every day to get up, go out and make a living. You get home and people, I've heard this a number of times, you know, your spouse will get home from work at the end of the long day. I'm tired, and they hit the couch and turn on the TV or pick up their phone these days, and tune out. And instead of that time being the end of the day where you can reconnect and be together, you're still apart, even though you're in the same room.
Yeah, absolutely. And limiting that time on the phone, I think, is really important, especially nowadays. I actually just put something on my Facebook page about that, you know, that we should all have a resolution for 2019 to actually have more personal interaction with people and less time on our phones. I mean, how many times do we go out to restaurants and you see a whole entire family of people sitting at a table and every single one of them's on their phone?
All the time. All the time. And they're all sitting at the same table. I see that with the triplets, with my husband's kids, that we will all be in the same house together, but they will be texting each other in different parts of the house instead of going to talk to each other. And I think, you know, that is one of the negatives of the digital tech world that we live in today. I'm guilty of it myself with, you know, with our show, and we are, you know, on Instagram and Facebook and trying to get posts out. I do find myself at times working on doing something for the show or getting that out or doing some work because I can work on things right on my phone for my clients. And my husband will be sitting in the same room. And so we have made a pact to try, if we get into doing that, to gently let the other one know that they're doing it, so that we can. And then the understanding is that we will put the phone down and pay attention to each other. So I think that's a really good resolution, Rebecca.
Yeah, I'm going to try to do it myself as well. Another warning sign is constantly bringing up the past. You know, it's really not healthy. And I have to say, I know my husband listens to these shows and he's going to go, oh, excuse me.
But I am
better now.
Well, you have a lawyer brain. You remember all the details.
That's right. So, but you know, it doesn't help anything if you're constantly bringing the past into the present, you know. And, you know, one of the things we've talked about therapy and in many of our shows, but, you know, it's not always easy to know how to communicate with each other effectively. You come into the marriage and, you know, as John Gray, who was kind enough to do a testimonial for my book, said, you know, men are from Mars, women are from Venus. And so you don't always know how to communicate to each other in an effective way. Even if you're in a same-sex couple, you don't necessarily know. And so don't be afraid to get help with learning how to communicate effectively with each other.
Yeah. You know, I had a therapist once suggest to one of my clients to have, they were working through some of the difficulties in the marriage and were reconciling, and we were working through some financial agreements on the legal side, but they were also working with the therapist. And for those difficult conversations, one of the parties just, she really couldn't verbalize it. And so the therapist suggested writing it out and giving a letter to her husband or sending him an email that she had the opportunity to put some thought and time into. And that actually was really successful for that couple because she felt safe in putting it down because she could think about it. She could put it out there. And her husband very much valued getting those communications from her. He felt like he was finally hearing from her. One of his big complaints had been that she didn't communicate, that she just said, oh, no, everything's fine. What, you know, it's all great. And he didn't feel like he was getting the real her. So even if it was coming in the written word for him, that was just a huge step forward. So something to consider.
Yeah. There's a book out there called The Five Love Languages or something like that. And, you know, that's another place to maybe learn what your love language is and how to, or what your, more importantly, what your spouse's love language is, so that you can speak to them in whatever their language is. It's like, some people like gifts, some people like acts of service, some people like personal touch. You know, I don't remember what the other two are, but it's those are the types of things that maybe, you know, if you know, like if your love language is different than the other person's, you may be expressing love to them in a way that doesn't even mean anything to them.
Right. I think that's actually really into my husband and I have a few things that, you know, that I do for him in the morning. Like I get his coffee and I set out his long thing of vitamins for him and all that. And we have just between the two of us, that's my way of saying I love you in the morning. If I don't even say it, he just knows I'm setting that up. I'm taking care of him. And I think it's those little things that you can do for each other. Cause he knows when he sees that little, you know, thing of vitamins and his drink in the morning, he knows that that's me saying, giving him a hug, saying, I love you, even if I'm not there. I set that up before I leave and go away. So that's just one little silly thing that we do. But I think that's a really poignant point that you make there, Rebecca. There are a lot of different ways to communicate.
Oh, I think
not just
one of
verbally.
Them is also words, like words of affirmation, like saying, I love you to the person, you know. So yours is like an act of service that you're doing for him rather than saying it, you know,
right.
Which is pretty cool. So
yeah,
another warning sign, and this really kind of goes without saying, and it's about money, and that is like hiding money, or you find secret bank accounts, things like that.
Yeah,
moving
if you
money.
Find financial paperwork around the house that you don't know what that is a definite problem.
Yeah, like the
keep
big
a copy
warning.
Of that paperwork, but that's a big. Big problem.
You know that alarm on your phone that goes bong, bong, bong? That's what should happen when you find
or that warning thing in the car when you don't put your seatbelt on and it gets louder and faster.
Yeah.
That's what you should hear in your head if you find a secret bank account.
Absolutely.
Or if you're like you know, some other people that I know, I had one client where every vacation that they went on, they went to a Caribbean island that had banking laws that allowed for anonymous accounts, kind of like Switzerland. You know, the Bahamas have.
Yes, like Nevis or something.
Exactly. So, and they always went on vacation. Her husband always had a little briefcase with him, and he always had to go run an errand. And during their vacation.
Is he James Bond? I think not.
I think not. I think we found a number of offshore bank accounts in the Bahamas and Turks and Caicos after those people, that marriage didn't work out. So if you're taking a lot of vacations to places like that and your husband brings a briefcase full of money,
that doesn't happen to go back with you.
Yeah. another warning sign.
Yeah. And, you know, one of the biggest ones of all, we save the best for last. Drum roll, please, yeah. Susan.
When sex is limited or you're not having sex at all.
Yeah.
So that goes back to that episode with Todd Krieger, right? Let's talk about sex. That is probably for at least couples or the parties who come through the door and are getting a divorce, the universal that we as divorce attorneys hear is that they have not been having an intimate relationship for years.
Years. I mean, I've seen it so often. It's years. And, you know, when you start to see that happening, and it's been, you know, 3 weeks, a month, now it's 2 months, you know, before it becomes years, maybe say something to the other person. I mean, unless there's an illness involved or some, you know, something physical, then there should be, you know, intervention with that. I know we had Todd Krieger on the show and he talked about that. We also had David Essel on the show who touched on this a little bit. And I saw that he recently on one of his social media things had this challenge to couples to try to have sex every day in a row for 30 days. I would like to know if any couple actually did that that's over the age of 30, but but maybe they did. I don't know.
We'll have to ask David.
We will have to ask David. But yeah, certainly if it's, or if you have, you know, it's I think it's common to have different libidos or and certainly at different times. But, you know, I've also seen people who have different sexual preferences about the kinds of things that they like and the other spouse doesn't want to do. And that could be an issue too.
Well, and what it really comes down to in all of that is communicating about it. Sex is such a hard thing for people to talk about. I mean, that was the undercurrent of our conversation with Todd. But it is, if you are in an intimate relationship like a marriage and there are things going on, you have to at least communicate about it. Or it's just going to turn out to be 7 years later. You haven't had sex in 7 years and one of you is ending up in a divorce attorney's office.
Right. And it's going to fester. I mean, all of these things that we've been talking about end up festering into these resentments, which are major relationship killers.
Yeah. You know, it can be any of these things. And there are probably a myriad more things that are an issue. But you know, in the end, it's your awareness of the issues and your ability to communicate with your spouse about them.
Yeah. And I think, you know, I recently heard Jamie Lee Curtis, who's been married forever to Christopher Guest,
yeah.
I think like 35 years or something. And she was recently asked how her marriage had lasted so long with her husband. And she said in sort of a pithy way, oh, simple, just don't get divorced.
I love that.
Yeah. And, you know, it is sort of pithy, but the message is there.
It is, you know, sometimes just being committed to being committed is the biggest secret.
Thank you for joining us today on Breaking Free, a modern divorce podcast. I'm Rebecca Zung.
And I'm Susan Guthrie. Breaking Free Mediation is proud to be the very first family law mediation centers in the country to offer a mindfulness track. Breaking Free Mediation, helping you resolve your family law matter peacefully. Learn more at www.breakingfreemediation.com.
Also, make sure to download your free calming meditation from renowned meditation and energy expert, Scott Picard, at www.breakingfreefromdivorce.com/free-meditation.
Check back next Monday for our next edition of our powerful, inspirational, and educational podcast. And if you enjoyed today's podcast, please remember to give us a 5-star rating and let us know what you liked in a review on iTunes.
And remember, you're just one step away from your new life.